So actually tomorrow evening is Tu Bishvat. There really is no word Tu, but Tu stands for Tes and Vav. 9 plus 6 is 15, is the 15th of Shvat. So that's also known as a new year. We know we have many, the Mishnah tells us in Rosh Hashanah, we have four different new years. We're familiar with new year, Rosh Hashanah, Judgment Day, the first of Tishrei. And the Mishnah goes on to different types of New Year's. And one of them is Tu Bishvat, Rosh Hashanah Li'ilanos. Rosh Hashanah, the New Year for trees. In fact, at first glance, it seems crazy, so many New Year's. But the truth is, even, it wouldn't change anything, even if it did sound crazy. But thinking about it more, we really have that in secular society also. We have the calendar year, January to December. We have the school year, September to June. We have businesses have a fiscal year. So it's not like it's such a crazy concept that's unheard of. You find that throughout, there are many different New Years for different things. So it's Rosh Hashanah Li'ilanos. And basically, it's actually a discussion, because why do we have to know when the New Year for trees is? Who cares? So basically, for tax purposes, for Truma, Meiser, and also in terms of knowing what year it is. So it's, in Judaism, it's very important to know the year of the tree, because we have Halacha, the first 3 years, it's Arla, it's forbidden. The fourth year, it's Kodesh Vashem, Netter Ravai. And then the fifth year, it becomes permitted. So if you, assuming planting the tree at the beginning, that's a discussion, but if you do it, if that tree begins, you plant that tree on the 13th day of Shvat, comes Tu Bishvat, it's year two already. So it's very important in terms of, so, you know, practical halacha in terms of that. So interesting, it's actually a machlokas in the Mishnah. When is the new year for trees? Tu Bishvat, as the word indicates, is 15th of Shvat. But what is the machlokas? It's a machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says it's already passed. Rosh Chodesh Shvat. That is the new year for trees. And Beis Hillel disagrees and says it's 2 weeks later on Tu Bishvat. So what is the Nekudas HaMachlokes? What is the dispute here between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai on whether when is the new year for trees? So the Gemara tells us half the story. The Gemara tells us the reason for Beis Shammai. The Gemara later on in Rosh Hashanah, I think Daf Yud Gimel Yudal, it tells us that Beis Shammai says, because that's when the majority of the rain falls in Israel. You know, hopefully it's not true this year or any year, but the majority of the rain has fallen, and therefore now the sap's growing, it's tired, now the tree's going to start, the fruits are going to start coming in. So the Gemara doesn't tell us, but what does Beis Hillel say? So there's an interesting Me'iri that tells us, you know what Beis Hillel's opinion is? That's when the fruit starts growing. I guess those 2 weeks, I guess, make a big difference. And Beis Hillel's opinion is, you go when the fruits actually start growing on the tree, not just the majority of rainfall, which gives us the potential. And which leads us to a very interesting, Rav Zevin has a beautiful piece in the Sefer Or LaHalacha, that he basically has different, he has an interesting discussion, different topic, I'd say he calls it Mishpat Shylock, that he goes over what happened with Shylock and the question, are you allowed to give a pound of your flesh? He goes to, if he went to a Beis Din, what would Beis Din, and he has different things on, this is where there's a lot of interesting shtickles on different things. And one of his, in the Sefer, one of his articles, he has different disputes between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. And he says that really, he gives a list, we'll go through a couple of them, but if you go through many of the disputes, Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, even though in the area they have nothing to do with another one, but if you get down to the root of it, you'll see that actually they're very consistent with their view. So for instance, is a whole discussion, what was created first? Was Shamayim created first, heavens, well, it's Aretz, or it's the land created first. And of course, it doesn't mean literally necessarily heaven and earth. It means spiritual matters, physical matters. So Beishamai says Shamayim with the spiritual, and Beisila goes with the Lamais. In other words, we're going to go through a couple of the spiritual. So Beishamai is always looking at potential. That Beishamai is really a thinking man's person. If you get down to the root, the potential, and then you'll see everything. So you go down to ultimately Shamayim then Aretz. So I'll give you some practical ones. So we do it. One is every Motzai Shabbos, we make Havdalah. And in Havdalah, we make a blessing. It's not directly connected to Havdalah, but we put it in the Havdalah. The bracha of Borei Ma'orei Ha'esh, the bracha we make on light. So that's our text, Borei Ma'orei Ha'esh. We're familiar in the plural. However, it's really a machokas in the Gemara and brachas between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai has a different text, Shabara Ma'or Ha'esh, that in the past, God created, back to Adam HaRishon, the first Boy Scout, he made the first fire, he went ahead, so he said you make the bracha in the singular. So what's the Nekudas HaMachos? So the Vilna Gaon writes, or they write in the Gra, the Shnos Eliyahu, that this is the issue, that Beis Shammai always goes a potential. Any fire you see from after Ma'aseh Bereishis, it all goes back to the original Ma'or HaEish. Adam HaRishon created the potential for fires. Every fire goes back to Adam HaRishon. It's, even if you have many fires in front of you, it's one fire. And Beis Hillel says, no, what are you talking about? I see a bunch of flames in front of me. They look like different colors. They're little orange, red, yellow, whatever it looks like. And therefore, we go by reality. Borei Ma'orei HaEish. So Beis Shammai always goes with the potential. And Beis Hillel deals in real life, in reality. And another example is the famous example is Hanukkah. Hanukkah is, we know the famous machlokes Beis Hillel by Shammai. Beis Hillel says you go from 1 to 8, and Beis Shammai says you light candles from 8 to 1. And the Gemara says, Kenegid Yamin Hayotzim HaNichnasim, but again, Beis Shammai says when you light that, you're going down, you have the potential in that first day, so every day your potential. Your first day is potential for 8, now there's only 7. Each day you go on, the potential diminishes. And Beis Hillel's reality, oh great, from 1 candle to 2, you keep on adding to it. Or another machlokes, nothing to do with Havdalah or this, but there's a interesting machlokes Beis Hillel Beis Shammai in terms of, we know fish are balei chai, they aren't makabel tuma. But once they become fish, once they become food, food can be makabel tuma. So the machlokes Beis Hillel Beis Shammai is at what point do the fish go from fish to food in terms of being makabel? So Beis Shammai says, Misha Yatsuda, when the fishermen have you in the net, you're still it's the fish alive, yeah, but once he's in the net, it's over. Right now, we consider the fish dead, and as a dinner, would have a dinner of being makabel tuma. But Beis Hillel says, no, until it's alive, it's a fish. When you actually catch it and you cut it up, it's dead. It's out of the water. That's what becomes. So again, so Beis Shammai gets down to the potential. Beis Hillel deals with reality. Or another one is, they talk about there's a doubt, there's a case of, let's say, a woman is accused of being a sota. So they have to go through the whole procedure of taking the water. So what happens is, before she drinks the water, the husband dies. So obviously no need for drinking the water anymore, because the whole point was, Shalom Bayit, getting the couple back together. We don't have to prove to anyone else it's over. The question is, does this woman get a ksuva? Because we know if you commit adultery, it's one of the things, you know, different things you do, you lose your privilege of the ksuva. So the question is, does this woman get a... We don't know. She's not drinking and the husband died. So does she get the ksuva? Does she get the ksuva or not? So it's an interesting machlokes Beis Hillel Beis Shammai in terms of how you view the... It's a question of suffix. You don't know. Do you owe her the ksuva? It's a case of suffix mamon, doubt, in the case of money. So the question is, we have a general principle in Dini Mamanos, Hamotzi Mechavero Olav Haraya. If I say you owe me money, the burden of proof is on me. You know, possession is 9/10 of the law. Whoever's holding on to it, obviously if you have witnesses or a document, then obviously the guy's a crook, you take it back. But there's no evidence, so possession plays a major role. So it's how you view this ksuva. So Beis Shammai says, shtara ome kagabos kagabos dami. We look at the potential. It's already the woman's holding this paper. It's her money. The money's already in her possession, and therefore she's the muksuk. She gets the ksuva. But he says no. It's a piece of paper now. It's only if you're going to get a divorce. You're separating. Does she get the ksuva? So right now it's not. So therefore it's still the husband's considered the muksuk. The woman. Again, an independent halach and shas, but it's the same yisod. Beis Shammai gets down to the root cause, and Beis Hillel looks at the reality. Another example, someone was writing a get, to the wife, they went to Beis Din, they wrote a lishma. At the end, she changed, they get to a point, that's it, they can't get along anymore, they're fighting enough, we can't be together anymore. And then they go to the Beis Din and tries to get them together. No, that's it. Then after they write it, forget the get. I'll just stay with her already. Reminds me of a famous joke I like saying, that there's a person went to Beis Din, and he got the divorce. He wrote the get, and then he says, I want to marry my ex-wife. I want to marry this woman. So Beis Din, what are you talking about? You just gave me a whole reason why. She's terrible, this and that. He said, for a second wife, she's okay. But the point being is, so here he wrote it to get, so that was fine. Apparently they went home living happily ever after, but then the husband died. So there's a whole question about whether this woman, so the whole discussion, Beis Shammai doesn't discuss what happened, but he discussed whether this woman already needs to get on, whether she was already... In the case where she was already, if she could marry a Kohen or not. Because if you're a Kohen, can't marry a Grusha. But a Kohen to the... So Beis Shammai discusses the potential that perhaps this writing out that get was enough. He doesn't explain, they don't go into details how they're living together all these years. But putting that aside, it's just the principle I want here. That he said, the principle, he wrote it with Shema, that's enough, like the get was given. And Beis Hillel says, no, there was no get given. So we see this fundamental machlokas, Rav Zevin points out throughout Shas, in any machlokas, we'll have to fit them in, some fit in better than others, but in many of the disputes between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, some are harder to find, but you have to get down to the root cause. Beis Shammai is always looking at potential, and Beis Hillel is always looking at reality. In fact, so that's what it is here. Beis Shammai, Rov Geshamim fell. That's Rosh Chodesh Shvat. But Tu B'Shvat, when the fruits are there, that's when it actually, that's what we go by. In fact, and the Gemara tells us about Shammai. Shammai was a kapton. Shammai from the word Shamayim. He was like we have a picture of Hillel, the nice grandfather, puts the kid on the lap, gives him all the treats. As one witch said, why did grandparents and grandkids get along so well? Because they have a common enemy. But the point being here is we know that grandfather, you give him whatever you want, okay, no discipline. That's most parents say anyway, so that might not be a difference. But grandparents, they just go home afterwards and that's it. You don't have to worry about when they start crying, okay, get out of here. Go to mommy now. But whatever the case is, so they point out that so that's Hillel. Shammai is the... It's the picture that I wouldn't be saying it about, but Chazal give the picture of like the grumpy old man, like it's a kapton. He's always like very upset, very serious, kind of like Elio, was also a kanai, and because they got from Shammai, etc. The whole lineage down, people followed the Shammai shita. So Shammai was known as strict, very, and the famous incident with the ger. The would-be convert who wants to come. So Beis Shammai saying, what are you talking about? you know, making a mockery out of you. I have principles. Get out of here. You can't join. And Hillel takes a totally different approach. The ultimate goal was to get to the same place, but he said, okay, paraphrase, etc. So we find totally different. You know, Shammai had his way of serving God, Hillel had his way. And the problem, Shammai, I'm sure on his level, was great and he was able to live a happy life. But the problem is, when people try to be, any extreme is no good, but the problem is when you be like Shammai, when you're always looking at potential, you run into big problems called depression, you're always upset. Should have, would have, I could have done this better, you know what, I didn't really do that well. You're always totally down on yourself, on others, whoever. Nothing's ever good, you know. There's nothing worse than being around someone who's a chronic complainer. Happiness is a moral obligation. It's not for you, for the people around you, for your spouse, for your friends. No one wants to be around someone complaining all the time. And someone who only sees the potential, you can't be happy because you always know that's all you see. You should have that view also. That's why we have two eyes. We have the right eye, left eye, Bilam. But the point being is, if you're only looking at potential, you run into problems. But, you know, Hillel had, you know, the much more, you know, reality. You're right, of course. You could say, this person gave $1 million charity. Oh, great. Yeah, but Shammai, what do you mean? You could have gave $2 million or $3 million. Like, what are you waiting, going on this vacation? Anything you do, I came to minute. Yeah, but did you come on time? Yeah, I came on time. Did you have kavana? There's always a next step to go. And obviously, there should be a part of you also that has that, but everything within level. So someone has too much Shammai, the person's going to be a life of depression. In fact, I always say, what's the best day of a person's vacation? It's the day before they go. Why the day before? Because you have your wish list. Okay, so I'm going to go to Florida. Okay, we got to do the beach. I got to do the pool, Disney. I got to go to this restaurant. I'm going. So you make a list. And then, of course, once you get there, you're never going to meet your list. And the potential is always greatest in the beginning, and you're never going to leave what happened. In fact, that's why. So, just to give a couple of sports analogies. Let's say since spring training's around the corner. I don't want to talk about football because it's too cold out. We'll think of the sun. So I think there was a famous pitcher named Jim Catt. Some of you might be familiar with him. I think he pitched on the White Sox and maybe Phil. I don't know, some other bunch of lefty, I remember. And so they spoke to him, I think, after he had a good career. I don't know if he was a Hall of Famer or not. But, he was a good, solid pitcher. And I think they spoke to me during his career, after his career. So tell me, what was the secret? Like, how did you become such a good pitcher? He said, you know what? I have to give credit to my first pitching coach. I don't know if it was Mel Stoudemire or not. Whoever is to my pitching coach. Why? Because I came to spring training my first year. So the pitching coach, okay, so tell me, what do you got? Tell me your pitch. You know, my best pitch is a fastball. You know, my curve's, you know, pretty good. My slider I have to work on, my spitball, etc. So I said, so the coach asked me, so what are you going to be working on in spring training? I guess my spitter, my slider, my curveball. He says, no, you got it all wrong. If you work on those are never going to be, they'll be okay. You, of course, work on them to make them a little better. Your pitch is the fastball. If you're going to make it in the majors, you got to go with what you're good at. Your fastball is going to be your pitch. It's good. Obviously, you improve on the other ones, you set them up. But the bottom line is, you work on your strength. People always make the mistake. And that's just, you know, taking the Shammai, especially with their own kids or students. And like a person will say, oh, but he's, my kid's so bright, but he's lazy. Or as opposed to, if it was stupid, it would be okay. But since he's bright, everyone has every person has their own challenges. A lot of times, the tendency is always to focus on the weaknesses and we ignore the strengths. But Hillel's teaching us, you got to work on the strength, you got to work on the fastball. Or one more sports analogy, we'll use basketball since we're in the season now. The Knicks are playing okay. First time was a relevant game in December in the Garden in years. I don't know if it's a good thing, but they better get Carmelo. That's a separate discussion. So they point out that, let's use Shaquille O'Neal. Not known for his foul shooting. So he won the top player. So same thing, you know. So if he, imagine, so if he came into the NBA and the coach, forget about everything you're doing. I want you to spend the next 12 hours a day just practicing your foul shot. Might be a little better, maybe not. It still wouldn't be good. The point is, if you're going to work on something you're not good at, it's not going to work. The point is, you work on your strength, you work on your rebounding, maybe work some little hook shot out, like a Jabbar or something. Which actually, I saw, speaking of Jabbar, I saw him, he's coming to Hamilton.
I saw that.
B'nai B'rith sports thing. I don't know, yeah. So, but work on, you know, like, think about Magic Johnson, Jordan, every year they came back, it was something new to the game. You know, they built on the strength. And that's what the machlokes here, Beisil, Beishami always looks at potential. Potential could be very dangerous, especially if you don't live up to your potential. And who could say who lived up to the potential? I would say no one, but I only could say one person, because Rav Chaim Volozhin in the Nefesh HaChaim says the closest person was in the Ruach HaChaim and Sefer on Pirkei Avos, Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was the closest. If you could say someone fulfilled the potential in life, it was Moshe Rabbeinu. Because he said, if you point out, if you look in the Chumashim, if you have a good Chumash, it says Moshe, Moshe right next to each other. I don't have the exact psukim in front of me, but it says Moshe, Moshe. It also says by Avraham, Avraham, Avraham. It could have been Avraham, Avraham, Rabbi Avraham, Avraham. So if you look, there's a psik, like a little tiny, like line. There's nothing between separating Moshe and Moshe. But by Avram, Avram is a tiny, thin line. So we all know, because Moshe said, I was nothing. I'm a nobody. Avram said he was Ofer V'Efer. He was like dust and earth, dirt and the ash. Maybe that's not much, but he thought he was something. In fact, interesting, that's the source. That was the source, the Vilna Gaon, right? The Gemara tells us a Talmud Chacham could have a shminis of a shminis. Like an eighth of an eighth of what, you know, Gaiva, we'll call it a confident, maybe, you know, overconfident, maybe being confident. So the Gemara doesn't tell us where it gets it from. So the Vilna Gaon says, interesting, if you look in Parshas Vayishlach, which is the eighth Parsha, and you look at the eighth Pasuk in Parshas Vayishlach, it's Yaakov Avinu preparing for his battle against Esav, and he says, Kotonti mikol achasidim, God, I don't deserve all of this. Meaning, I don't deserve all that, a little bit I deserve, but not a lot. So we learn out from this, it's okay to have a little gaiva, but, you know, not too much, everything in balance. But either way, by Avram Avinu, it was okay, but the point being, Avram felt he was summoned. So Moshe, because the famous story with Zusha, I think, the Hasidish Rebbe, that what he always used to say, that when I go up to Beis Din Shalmala, when I go up to the heavenly courts, I'm not worried if they're going to ask me, was I Moshe Rabbeinu? Was I Rabbi Akiva? Was I the Chafetz Chaim? Was I Rav Moshe? Was I Rav Yaakov? They're going to say, Zusha, well, you Zusha. In other words, they want to take out the... In other words, today we understand it better with the video that they, I think they, the Vilna Gaon says in the Tziv, at the end of the, you know, at the end of the life, they're going to show you this oh, well, who is this guy? This Talmud Chacham, this big... That's who you could have been. And you know, now he has to, let's watch the real movie now. But in terms of, in fact, that's why I think that, oh, that's because they, so I think one of the Gedolim has a joke, in the, you know, the joke I think Nitziv always writes is that, I think that's the story that they say with Nitziv. Apparently he wasn't the brightest, thought he was average, you know, I'm sure he was above average, but they say he wasn't the brightest, maybe. And he heard one time his parents talking, it's too bad. I think our son's going to have to be, I don't know how they say it in Yiddish, like a shoemaker or something like that. Have to work with, you know, because nothing wrong with that. Nice, honest. And he heard it and he was so upset. He worked on himself and he became the great Nitziv. So I think, so I forgot who, so one Rosh Yeshiva says, you know, mocking in the other way, you know. So the joke goes, you know, when you go, because the Nitziv, because what would happen if the Nitziv stayed a shoemaker? He said, what would have happened to me? They would have come to me. I was making shoes and they'll say, where's the Hamek Shai? Where's the Hamek Dov? All his great prolific. They would have came to me and said, where's all your work? I'm a shoemaker. What do you? I know, but you could have been this. So the joke is, so, you know, all the, when some rabbis are going to say, where are the shoes? But either way, so the point is that you have to go ahead, and you know only Moshe Rabbeinu was able to reach his potential, but Avram came close. But Avram has a small psik, and a rebbe of mine used to always say, he always sees it's very fashionable. It wasn't so fashionable then, but he used to say everyone has to go on a diet, you know, which is very, you know, New Year's now, the gym should be full, but not that type of diet. I mean, that might help also. There's a mitzvah to take care of yourself. But the diet, everyone's going to have a letter, something between the names. You're trying to whittle down that line. You don't want some big fat line, some big fat box in between. Our goal is to try to get, we're never going to be Moshe Rabbeinu, and we don't have to be. We just have to be the, and that's what the Machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and that's what Tu B'Shvat is. Tu B'Shvat, that we realize, we live in the world of reality. You know, to live in the world of potential could be very depressing and harmful. We don't paskin Rosh Chodesh Shvat. We paskin like Beis Hillel, that we go by, we live in Olam Hazeh. We go by this world as when the fruits come out. That we, you know, we're based on, you know, on what we actually do. And that's why, and that's in the Kudus HaMachokas throughout Shas, but that's why Beis Shammai says Rosh Chodesh Shvat, because that's the potential, all the water, and we have Beis Hillel saying the issue with when the actual fruits take place. So along the lines on Tu B'Shvat, so it's a tiny sif in Shulchan Aruch. And today it's very popular, because in the 16th century, the Kabbalists really took it very seriously. Tu B'Shvat Seder, and people have these whole long, I never heard of the Tu B'Shvat Seder until about 5-6 years ago. And then, I'm even now even ran one or two in Sholom Village, but basically people have different, you have the four cup, the whole, it goes back to like 16th century, this in Svat, all the Kabbalists used to have. So, Alpi Kabbalah, there's a lot going on, but as we say, we pass them like Beis Hillel. I'm living in the world of reality now, so I don't know that much about that stuff. All I know is what the Shulchan Aruch tells me, it's a day where we don't say Tachanun. That's all that Shulchan Aruch has to say about Tu B'Shvat. For that, many people don't see Tachanun every day for other reasons, I'm sure. But it's a day where the Shulchan Aruch says, it's Rosh Hashanah Li'ilanos. In fact, that's one of the things that, Alpi Kabbalah, they say is that even though now in this world we pass in like Beis Hillel, but in Lasid Ravo we're going to pass, we're not ready for Shama yet, it's too tough. But we don't know, that's not in any classical sources, that's in Sifrei Kabbalah say that, but that's in terms of the potential. So the Shulchan Aruch brings down this about, and it works out well for you Thursday, at least you're missing a good Tachanun to miss. So it'll be worthwhile. But so the Mishnah Berurah over there writes, he quotes a minug about some people have fruits and they make a Shechiyanu on Tu B'Shvat. So what's that all about? So actually it's not even so pashut anymore. But it could be the Chofetz Chaim in Radin, so you didn't have too much exposure, I imagine, to all many, you didn't get many different fruits, and even who knows, I don't know what they had. To have any type of fruit might have been very exciting. They didn't have much food to begin with, and if anything they had was excitement. But Bizman Hazeh, it's much more problem. And again, I'm not sure if someone has a minig, and you have your Tu B'Shvat Seder, and you have a minig to make a Shechiyanu, I'm not telling you not to. I'm just pointing out that it's not so pashut. Because I'm based on Rav Soloveitchik and Rav Moshe Feinstein. So they both talk about it in different areas, but the same yisod. So Rav Moshe writes that Bizman Hazeh, and this is his time, imagine how it's grown in the past 20 years already. Even during his time, he says, we live in a global fruitopia. He lived in New York, but here it's no different here. That basically, you get any fruit you want any time. Well, you might have to pay a couple extra bucks off season to buy a watermelon or to buy a special type of fruit. But basically, everything's available. I had a watermelon yesterday, I can have it today, cantaloupe, or whatever fruits, whatever you go for, grapefruits, oranges, apples, they're all available all the time. And even if you personally didn't have it, the fact that it's available shows part of the point of the Shekhiyanu is to share in the excitement of it. And therefore, he's just saying it's not so simple that today that to make a Shekhiyanu on, you know, on a new fruit. It's not just a new fruit, in fact. It's the same thing on clothing as well. Do you buy a new suit? Do you make a Shekhiyanu? So, you know, if you look at the straight postum, it seems yes, but the Rav Soloveitchik felt differently. He said that was during those days when did you get a new suit? If you're lucky at your bar mitzvah, if you're really lucky at your wedding again, if you're really lucky, maybe when you had your first kid. But today, you know, if you live here every day, there's another sale, this sale, that sale, like buying a new suit, like, you know, maybe you could argue a new car if you bought one. People buy new cars every couple of years. But even that, you know, it's something that Shekhiyanu has to be associated with, the excitement. So the Rav felt it wasn't so simple. You know, he felt not to make a Shekhiyanu on you buying today a new. What does a new suit mean to you? Buy a new pair of pants, sure. Again, if people have a minig. See, there's a big difference between the Shekhiyanu you make on, let's say, a new fruit and Shekhiyanu you make on Yontav, because Shekhiyanu you make on a Yontav, that's a Chiyav. That's a Chiyav that when, or on a mitzvah, let's say, on, you know, on Shofar, Lulav, on a mitzvah that comes, every year, but not Tadir, so you make a bracha on it. But let's say the Shekhiyanu you make on a Yontav, that's on the Kedusha Sayom. That brings in the sanctity of the day. So that's a totally different type of Shekhiyanu. The Shekhiyanu you're making on a beggar is always a rishus. I mean, it was optional. It was a subjective thing. If you felt that excitement, you went ahead and make a bracha. But he says, today you have all, today, new clothing, that's not the same as it was 50, 60, 100, 200 years ago. And therefore, combining both, it's not just them, but combining both Rav Moshe and the Rav, it's not so simple. You make a Shekhiyanu just on fruit. I really make a Shekhiyanu, you know. I mean, I'm not excited as easily either, but I'm not saying anyone else. I usually, it's very rare, I don't make any Shekhiyanos on clothing and that. I go with that school, so that's not the same. You know, and in theory, if something you're going to do once every 20, 25 years and it's really exciting, yet you're rishus and you should do it. But I'm saying things on buying a shirt, pants, tie, you know, shoes, that doesn't do it for me anyway. And therefore we do it so often. So therefore, even though the Mechaber brings down in Shulchan Aruch, he brings down the issue of no tachanun. He brings down. But he says, in no tachanun, that's what he said, but the Mishnah Berurah brings down the minug of making a Shekhiyanu. But even if he did that, then, you know, Rav Moshe, Rav Soloveitchik, others feel that's not so simple. Again, if that's your minug, you could do it. But they felt against not to make, you know, not to make a Shekhiyanu. There's nothing wrong with eating a lot of fruits on Tu Bishvat. You know, anyway, it's the Rosh Hashanah, Lilanos, have the different, you can have the Seder if you want to, but have, you know, have the different fruits, and, you know, some say specifically from the Shivas Aminam. You know, I know during my day, I remember, I can scroll back when I was in, like, elementary school, they used to give out these, like, little bags, and these, like, this. Like, to me, they were like, you know, I probably feel the same way now, but imagine how I felt 40 years ago. I guess it was Buxa, all this stuff, I didn't even know what it was. This drive, it was hard, we used to throw it at each other, throw it at the teacher, or whatever you did. But in terms of, it's like, no one ate that stuff, and I didn't even know what it was. I wasn't, nor was I interested. I just went for my chocolate bar, or, you know, something with sugar in it. But the point being is, so there's, you know, some of a minute ago, Buxer, that's in the Carib, that's the story with Choni Hamago, which they tie in to with Tu Bishvat, that the famous story, the Gemara in Tainis and other places go into it, that he saw a man planting a tree. He said, oh, so what are you doing, planting a tree? When's it going to grow? I don't know, about 70 years. Are you going to be around for that? No. But my grandkids, look at this tree. You know, if my grandfather went to plant it, I wouldn't have a tree. Okay. So what happened, story goes, he fell asleep, was one of the best. I guess they should try to get their medicine in terms of sleeping pills and that. It really worked. He dozed off for the next 70 years. And he was, you know, look, he was covered up, no one saw him. And then after 70 years, he wakes up and he sees this guy who looks like the person he was speaking to. He said, "Are you the one, you know, are you the one who planned?" He said, "No. My grandfather, he's the one who did it." So then he realized, and he went home, and his family, no one believed who he was. And then that sad story at the end, that woe to the person who has, you know, if you don't have friendship, you don't have life. And, you know, basically, again, you know, which isn't, obviously, it's not a heter for suicide or anything like that, but in terms of, you just see, you know, you see how true it is anyway, that what it means to say a person needs reason to live, you need meaning in your life. No, whatever the meaning is going to be, you can fool yourself, there's a meaning, real meaning, fake meaning, but you have to have some reason. So, you know, if not, so to speak, you know, you lose your cheshek, you know, for living, so to speak. So, so that's, you know, the custom where the, you know, people have the caravs and the carob trees and all that. You know, I guess Choni Amago, the cycle, the circle of life, and all of that. And that's what, I guess, the minig of the carob trees. Also, they say it's called Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan. It's in singular. Why not Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanos? In, you know, many trees, so they point out, because the Bnei Yisachar in the Chassidish Svarim point out that Rosh Ilan is a specific tree. It's referring to the Ilan, the tree of the Esrog. The Esrog that makes sure you plant the tree that you're going to have, if we ever do the mitzvah next year of the four species. And that's why they point out, and Api Kabbalah, you know, Tu B'Shvat, they have a field day in terms of connecting fruits to Adam and all that, but we know we stay here, it's called the halachic spectrum. We keep to most, you know, the halachic realm, one that I understand more than the Kabbalistic realm, you know, in terms of, those are some of the issues of Tu B'Shvat. You have the fundamental machlokes Beis Hillel Beis Shammai regarding is a Rosh Chodesh Shvat or Tu B'Shvat. And we saw it's a fundamental potential versus reality. We went through many different disputes. We had Shamayim Va'aretz in the much more spiritual realm. Shammai Hillel lives in the reality. We had Havdalah, Borei Ma'oreish, or Borei Ma'oreish, or if you go by the single fire or many, what point does the fish become food in terms of Mekabel Tuma? We look at a document. Is it a document only, or it's like the woman already collected the money or not, and as well as the issue of writing out again, and all these things, it gets into potential, and we live in the world, we live in the world of reality. It's good to focus on your potential all within reason, but we have to realize, you know, we have to focus on the reality. That's why we celebrate Tu B'Shvat, not an Aleph, not Rosh Chodesh. And that's why we said and we observe it by no tachanun, and the minig is to skip tachanun and Tu B'Shvat. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes the minig of people making a shachiyanu. Either way, eating many fruits is a good minig. It's a good minig every day of the year to eat a lot of fruit. It's healthy, but specifically on Tu B'Shvat to eat, you know, maybe certain fruits, the shivas aminim. But making shachiyanu, that's, you know, I don't make a shachiyanu. You know, if you have a minig too, if you have someone, your rabbi tells you to make one, it's a rishus, you can't make it. But I don't have that excitement, you know, with clothes and food, etc. And therefore, and it's not my own, it's Rav Moshe, the Rav Soloveitchik, all say that if you're not going to have the excitement today, so you can have it, but, you know, safek brachos lahakel, don't make this, you know, if you, you know, stay away from the shachiyanu.